message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Please welcome somebody, at least one person, and please take your seats. It's my privilege to welcome you all to this glorious service. We want to thank God for his faithfulness, for his kindness, and for his love. I trust God that in somebody's life this morning, what God is set to do, nothing will stop it in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. We are on our series on dominion and power, and I'll be speaking this morning under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Assessing power for supernatural supplies. Assessing power for supernatural supplies. What is supernatural supplies? It means access to resources to get all your needs met without any delay or denial. Supernatural supplies means access to resources far beyond what you can imagine to get all your needs met. And you even have excess. And this is done without delay or any form of denial. Having access to surplus, to what you need, and even extra is supernatural supply. Our God is a blessed God. He's a rich God. Very prosperous. God is not in need, and he will never be in need. In Hosea chapter 2 verse 8, Hosea chapter 2 verse 8 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Now, God speaking, he said, everything you can ever think of, I own it. And that means that if you are my child, you have access to it. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. Everything that is called wealth, I own it and I'm ready to give it to you. Hosea chapter 2 verse 8. Also in Psalms 35 verse 27. Psalms 35 verse 27. The Bible says that God delights in the prosperity of his servants. God delights in your prosperity. Psalms 35 verse 27b. God delights in your prosperity. Your prosperity is God's desire. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God is happy when you are prosperous. God is not jealous of you if you are a rich man. God is not jealous. God is not envious of you. He's not an envious person that we envy your prosperity or envy your wealth. No. It's not that kind of person. In 3 John verse 2, 3 John verse 2, the Bible says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I have a desire for you to prosper. God's desire for you this morning will come to pass. I say God's desire for you this morning will come to pass. And that desire is supplies. He wants you to have access to blessing, the best of the best. Put your right hand on your chest and say after me, in the name of Jesus, the best of the best, the best of the best is my portion. The best of the best is my portion, in the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you through him might become rich. Jesus was rich, but so that you can be rich, he submitted himself to poverty. Jesus is so wealthy, but he became a poor. So if you are poor again, that is double tragedy. Jesus became poor that you might become rich. So if you are poor, that is not God's plan for you. In fact, money is not bad in itself. It is the love of money that is bad. According to 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. It is the love of money that is the root of evil, not money itself. So when people say, I don't like money, then I ask them, what do you use to buy what you are wearing? What do you use to eat? What do you use to pay your rent? 1 Timothy 6 verse 10. What do you use to pay your rent? What do you use in transporting yourself? You say you don't like money. It is the love of money that is the root of evil, not money itself. Money is an instrument for the use of doing good, and you will have abundance of it. I can't hear your loudest amen. I can't hear your loudest amen. That is an Ilorin amen. If you say this kind of prayer in Lagos, the amen will be louder. But you know, Ilorin people, small money is okay. Just to take transport from a tanker, it's okay. But for somebody here this morning that has a global view, resources shall be released to you. Resources shall be released to you. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. So it is the love of money that is bad. When you love money, money has become like a mammon. According to Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. He said you can't love God and love mammon. Mammon is the god of money. That's the god of money. That's the god that makes people to do anything for money. For somebody here this morning, God is going to help you this morning. You are going to serve the Almighty God and not mammon. Let me hear your loudest amen. Quickly this morning, before I go into the main text this morning, what are the effects of lack? What happens when a man lacks? What are the effects? Number one is sickness and stunted growth. There are many people in life who were meant to be tall people, but they have remained as short as this because there's no money to eat good food. Most of the sick, thank God we have doctors here. Most of the sicknesses we have now are related to lack of money for people to take care of their health. And then their immunity was downgraded. So disease came in. Inability to eat balanced diet. Then introduction of sickness. Then no money to treat the sickness. Effect of lack. Effect of lack of supply. So that's, I want you to hate lack this morning. When you hear lack, I want you to hate it. Number one effect is sickness. Number two effect of lack is stagnation. When a man lacks, he's stagnated. I mean, you must have known of many people who were supposed to have gone to school. Immediately they got to they wanted to take JAMB. There was no money to take JAMB. So after it took them like 6 years to farm before they can raise money for JAMB. After that, JAMB him. He wait for another 4 years. That's 10 years wasted out of his life. Eventually, when he entered 100 level, money to pay. When he entered 200 level, bam, there was no school fees. So he went there and said, please give me some time. Spend another 2-3 years at home. When a man or a woman lacks, is destined for stagnation. You will never be stagnated. Somebody that's supposed to have taken his master's cannot take it. He doesn't have school fees. Someone should have taken his PhD. Cannot take it. He's in lack. He's stagnated. He's on the same spot many years running. Because there is no resources. Lack brings stagnation. Effect of stagnation number three. Effect of lack number three is rejection. I mean, this is so common, especially in Nigeria, whereby if you have nothing, people don't want. In many families, many have been rejected because they lack. Brothers rejected brother. Sister rejected sister. Seeing the brother's call and rejecting it. Flashing it. Busy. Your own brother. Busy. I'm busy. Also, you call somebody, the person knows you want to beg for school fees because school is resuming next week. And then as you are calling, all of a sudden, he put the phone on reject mode. Then he enters, bounce back. Because the person knows that this person is, if you were calling to give the person 1 million, even if he's prayed, he will break the prayer. But because he knows that the reason why you are calling is to ask for something, he begins to flash busy. Or somebody picks the call. Hello, he's not here now. He's not here. Please call him. Call him. Call him in 6 months' time. Rejection. Many have been rejected because of lack. Number four, effect of lack is frustration. Many have committed suicide because of lack. There was no other reason. They didn't have what to eat. They didn't have what to drink. What to wear was a problem. So they entered inside bathroom. tied rope, went outside, removed the rope of the well, removed the black something there, and tied it, and died. Frustration is as a result of continuous, persistent lack. It's very easy to be frustrated when a man is in lack. But for somebody here this morning, you will never taste frustration. I say you will never taste frustration. You will never taste frustration. Number five, effect of lack is embarrassment. A man is living in an apartment and rent is due in December. Landlord had already written him three letters before the time. Don't forget, oh, because every year you always pay me 1 year later. This year I will embarrass you. And on January 1st, the day of the new year, immediately he comes back from church, from the new year service, the door is already locked. That's an embarrassment. Sell people come to do sale. They say, you cannot enter this place. I've told him already. I gave him 3 months. It is, ask him. For the past 7 years, he's always late in paying his rent. So this year, Munigba. And then the man is embarrassed. Then you see a man with 4 children, 5 children, 6 children, crying like a baby. Baba God. Baba God. Where is your eye? He's embarrassed. You will never suffer embarrassment. I say you never suffer embarrassment. You will never suffer embarrassment. You will never suffer embarrassment. Oh, you are going on the street. Police stop you like this. Stop. Pack, 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 pack. And they say, bring your papers. And the papers expired since 3 years ago. You should have renewed it, but you did not renew it. Then the police say, come out here. Come out inside the sun here. I will finish you today. Except they say, you this. A police will now say, you this poor man. You this poor man. You can't renew your papers. And he will be talking to you. If he says you are stupid, he say, yes, sir. He say, your head is so big. He say, it's not even big enough. Please. You begin to call, yes, sir, because the money to renew the papers was not there. You will never suffer embarrassment. You will never be a candidate of embarrassment. I've told you the story before of a young man who was going in Lagos, and he saw one of his friends say, Peleti, mommy, oh, sorry about your mommy. Well done. Oh. I said, much mommy. My mommy is around. She's okay. He said, no. I was at the burial. It was just I didn't notice you around. Then he said, I don't know what you mean. Then he phoned his brother right in the middle of the market in Lagos. Hello, Baoninka, bro, how's everything? Yeah, how is mommy? He said, we buried mommy last weekend. He said, yeah! My mother died and you buried her without my consent. I was not even there. He said, what will you do? There is nothing you can give. You don't have supply. You cannot, cause casket you can't buy. You can't print program. You can't drop money for cow. Okay, what is it? Do your worst. You will never suffer embarrassment. 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 In the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Number six is delay. 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 Delay is one of the major things that lack causes. The thing a man should have done, he cannot do it. Project starts. The project is delayed. Building one house, one single house for 32 years. One house. Jehovah. One house. When somebody has built 32 houses, somebody's building one house, 32 years. 7 years for half of the foundation. Another 7 years for the balance of the foundation. Building from foundation to window level, another 4 years. From window to lintel level, another 7 years. And then before you know it, 32 years of delay in building one project. Okay, how many years is the man's life to spend 32 years to be, and it's even a two-bedroom flat? God is going to rescue somebody here this morning. After this service, lack will be completely cast out of your life. I say lack will be completely frustrated out of your life. One of our empowerment nights, I think the last two or so, before this one, one of our leaders was praying here. I said we should thank God. That was Friday. That last week, a man and his wife in Tanke here, I believe, from what she said, told the wife, you go like this. Me, I go like this. Let us go and beg. Working. Not that they don't have job. Both of them have job, but they are not being paid. You go like this. I go like this. We meet back after some time. Anybody you see, Babiala, please, tell them story. Cook up something. Then we come back with something to eat. Somebody is here this morning. Your case will never get to that level. Number 7, effect of lack is loss of respect and recognition. Loss of respect. I mean, you anywhere you find yourself where there is lack, a man will lose respect. You don't have a job. They manage for you first year, second year, third year, still living in the same house, no job. After some time, when they want to go and pour away the poo-poo of your cousin's baby, they will give a graduate. His friends are already married with 2, 3, 4, 5 children. He's still living inside. They say, come, go and call him. What is his use? Maybe he's just inside listening to Radio Quara. Let him go and pour away the dustbin. He has lost color. He has lost respect. Then when they want to call him in the environment, say, that brother that has never been able to do anything good, you should know him now. They are not two in this environment. That will never be somebody's case here this morning. All our children and all the children under the sound of my voice, I declare this morning that you will do well in life. You will not lose respect in your family. One of the worst things that can happen to a man or a woman is for his family to lose confidence in him. They just lose confidence that nothing good can come out of this one. We send you to school. You cannot even do anything. Job you can't get. Company you can't start. Business you can't. To sell you can't sell. There's nothing working for you. Then recognition is lost. A drama some time ago where a mother, I think, had 2 or 3 children. 2 of them were doing well. They came home for family meeting. And the third one, I can't remember the story, but I think you remember that story. The third one, the mother, his own mother, the way he was, and he was the firstborn, talking rubbishly to him. Then what do you mean? Others brought a car to greet me. Did you bring anything? They brought something. They put something in my hand. What did you bring? He lost color. He lost recognition. They were almost saying like others, sit on the chair. You, firstborn, sit on the floor, on the mat. You will not lose recognition. I say you will not lose recognition. One of the major needs of man is to be recognized. That's one of the major things that a man likes to do. It is inborn. God put it there. Even God himself loves to be honored. 1 Samuel 2:30, he that honors me, I will honor. He that despises me, I will lightly esteem. God likes honor. Man likes to be honored. And if you lack, nobody can honor you. How many of you has ever prostrated to a beggar? Somebody who is outside begging, his 2 eyes is gone from complicated cataract, his 2 legs has problem from kwashoko, head is bigger than body, and then you go to him, you prostrate. Good morning, sir. Anybody here done that before? Even when if he greets you, say, yeah, how you doing? How you doing? Because you know that they must not see me with this person. Friends, it's a new day for somebody here today. Your case is changing this morning. Number 8, effect of lack is it brings reproach to God's name. Lack always makes God's name to be reproached. And that's why God hates lack. Anywhere God finds lack, look at the Bible. Anywhere Jesus found lack, he destroyed it. In John chapter 2, there was a story there of Jesus going to Cana of Galilee. And the Bible said, wine finished, he destroyed lack. Because lack, they would say, Jesus was in that patio and wine finished. Anywhere God gets to and there is lack, he will stop it. Also, Jesus was walking with his disciples one day. And the Bible says that they came to him and they said, pay tax. And then they were debating. They said, forget them. Go now to the fish. They fought, throw in the hook. Immediately, the first fish you catch, open his mouth, bring out money, pay tax for you and for me. Anywhere Jesus went to, because lack, when you are in lack, you go to your neighbor's house, hey, good afternoon, please, I want to, please, can I borrow 1 Maggi from you? Just one. Say, but you have borrowed more than 7 now, you have not returned anyone. And I think you are the first to leave this house for church. Are you really serving God for real? That is like a reproach to God's name. Like your landlord is not a Christian, and then he's almost tearing your shirt to collect his 200,000 rent from you. or it's 250,000 or 300,000. He's almost tearing your shirt. He said, Jesus, yeah, Jesus, which Jesus? My friend, go and sit down here. Give me my money. If Jesus can help you, he should have helped you by now. That's a reproach. But you will never suffer reproach. My Bible says, they looked unto him. Their faces were lightened, and they were not ashamed. They looked unto him. As you look unto him today, God is going to respond to you. I say, God is going to respond to you. Maybe I've taught your case one way or the other as I was speaking. I speak to you this morning that today marks the end of that reproach in your life forever. Today marks the end of that reproach in your life forever. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. However, until a man knows what to do, lack is continuous. You see, knowledge is power. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed. Why? No knowledge. They are destroyed not because they didn't go to school. They went to school. They got academic qualification, but they don't have spiritual knowledge, which controls the matter. So, this morning, I will be releasing to you fundamental keys that bring supernatural flow of supplies. How do I contact flow permanently that might not be embarrassed, that might not suffer delay, that might not be stagnated, frustrated? And then we'll go to pray. I'll be very fast, so I expect that you write very fast. This is one thing you need to write. This is one thing that will change your life forever. Whenever you're coming to church, it's very good that you come with your notes so that you can take notes and then it can affect you. You can go back home and then go over it again and again and again, and then you are blessed. Number one key to supernatural supply is God first mentality. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, every other thing shall be added. The God first mentality is what brings about a change of story for you. God first. God first. God first. God first. God first. You see, God is a jealous God. When in the area of finance and supply, you treat God as if he's a nobody. Every other thing has been settled. If any extra, I give it to God as a dash to help him, then there will be lack. God first mentality. The mentality that God is everything to me. He gave me everything. Why can't I give him everything? He supported me. What else can I do? This is the least I can do for God. Your mentality affects your actuality. God first mentality is a mentality of an addiction. You are addicted to God. That's what it means. You are so addicted to God. It's not a mentality of you have small change. You know, there are some Christians that when they have small change in their pocket, that is the end of church for that year. God first mentality is a mentality whereby you have 1 billion naira in your account. It doesn't affect your cleaning in your sanctuary department. That's what they call God's first mentality. You have 1 billion cash. When you write a check of 1 billion cash, it will not bounce. And you are still in church by 7. That's God first mentality. You can wire 1 million euros to Germany for a purchase without blinking an eye. You just go to the internet and you wire it if it's possible. And you still are in Wednesday service with fasting. And you are still praying. Like, not that you put your hands in your pocket. All these needy people, look at the way they are praying. Pastor, please, when you get to the area of worship, I worship, but I don't. You are addicted to God. So God knows it. He has no choice but to release your flow. I mean, many people are in shambles today because God has now become the last, and their own personal needs have become the first. But for somebody here this morning, God is changing that story. And amongst other things, one of the major areas of your God-first mentality is your tithing. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Tithing. I mean, many people hate to hear that. Tithing. Bring ye all the tithe into my house. Anything I've given to you, bring the tenth of it. It is for me, it's not for you. Let it come to me, and then you will see what I'm going to do for you. When you have done that, you have provoked me. He said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Because of your tithing, I will release some blessings to you to the extent that nobody will be able to imagine that this is your life. People will be aghast at what you have become. In Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, all the tithe in the land, whether it's seed or anything, every tithe in the land is for me. Leviticus 27 verse 30. I own the tithe. It is for me. And all the... Let's read it together, everybody. One, two, go. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy. When you bring tithe, it is not pastor that is tithe. It's not church that needs money. You are bringing it unto the Lord. And as you bring it unto the Lord, it is collected here by men. People count it and I'll use it for church work and all that. But God is saying, I now receive, I acknowledge it in heaven, so I open your heavens. I'm talking from a practice. You know, some people just talk from the perspective of reading. They just read or they just heard it. A practitioner is standing before you. Friends, I know what it has done in my life. I know what tithing has done in this ministry. I know where we were. I know where we are. I know where God is taking us. As long as we continue. Because some people will do a lot of arithmetic. Do I tithe if I'm a student? And do I tithe if I'm a housewife? Do I tithe my business? How do I calculate my profit? If you are doing a business, you cannot calculate profit and loss. You should go back to school. Go back to school. You cannot calculate your profit. You don't know how much you spent on your cost. If you have two staffs, your secretary and a driver, don't you know how much you paid them? Don't you know how much you spent in a month on NEPA? Remove it and then you probably have it. You must be able to, or you are not even ready for supply. You're not ready. If you are selling gas, you know how much a cylinder costs. You know how much you used to refill it. You know how much you sold it. You know the differential. I mean, simple. It's a new day for somebody here today. So number one thing is this God-first mentality. And this God-first mentality is a mentality whereby you are so addicted. You are not thinking of backsliding because of money. You know, there are some Christians like that. Little resources, they want to begin to backslide. Backsliding is not fornication and smoking alone. No. Backsliding is when you are cutting down the time you are spending with God. That's backsliding. Service opens, we do service Monday to Sunday. You attend only once in a month. That's backsliding. Confirm. Service of every day in a church, Monday to Sunday, prayer 6 to 7 every day, Wednesday service, Sunday service, but you attend once in a while. When you feel like you are backsliding already. Because there's no internet. So the issue of flow is not there. Because if he mistakenly gives you flow, you will flow into the world. You will have like 7 girls on your laps on Sunday morning. Somebody's here this morning. God is giving you that understanding. Number two key. I need to be very fast now. Number two key to supernatural supplies is integrity. Integrity is key to supply. Your integrity, you can combine integrity with prosperity. You can be prosperous, yet a man of integrity. Not cheating here, cheating there, cheating here, cheating there. Stealing here, stealing there, lying here, lying there. No. You cannot be entrusted with supplies until you have been tested with integrity. You can't be entrusted with supply. I don't even know why. I was telling the pastors yesterday night during our pastor's prayer meeting at night, preparing for this service. The reason why seven children don't have seven results after 7 years, one of it is integrity. One of them maybe sleeping with another man's wife, another one maybe stealing company money, another one maybe lying, another one into Yahoo Yahoo, another one into all sort of rubbish businesses, another one diligent, a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, standing for God, standing for the truth, who prefer to die than to dip his hand into iniquity, then that person is ready for supplies. All our fathers who were men of integrity were blessed. Abraham was the most blessed in his time. Every one of them who walked in integrity, walked in supplies. You are the next. Financial discipline determines financial supplies. What is not yours is not a blessing but a burden. Anything that is not yours is not a blessing to you. Anything you touch that is not yours, you just took something that is not meant to be. It's not meant to be. You can ask Adam and Eve when they went to take the apple that God said. You can ask them. They will tell you what happened to them. They were stripped naked. They were cast out. They were in supplies before. They were in supplies inside the Garden of Eden. All of a sudden, they became naked. They pushed them out to go and labor. They pushed them inside sun. You can imagine somebody who all his life has never, maybe you have been working in the bank where there's always AC and all that, worked there for about 10 years. And one day, they just push him out of lack of integrity. Then he now begins to push wheelbarrow on the street. You can imagine how frustrated, dilapidated, shattered he will be. Somebody who has never seen sun in the afternoon before, always inside AC for the past 10 years. One day, last week, somebody was calling me while I was praying. Calling me. Why is spelling calling me? I was in the church here. I didn't answer. So around evening, maybe around 4 or 5, I called the person back. He said, I wanted to tell you that so-so person working in so-so place stole 300,000 from Bokroom. Bokroom is where they count money in a bank. Stole 300,000. I hope you have nothing to do with that person. I said, God will not allow me to have 300,000. This is a big person. Sneaked inside somebody else's money. Went inside somebody else's cubicle or whatever. Stole money. You will not know shame. I say you will not know shame. I say you will not know shame. So when you take what is not yours, when you take what is not yours, you close the door to what is yours. When you take anything that is not yours, which is yours, you close the door to it. You eat a company, a person's company, dry. You never start your own company. You ruin a person's ministry, you never be able to survive in any ministry. That's why drivers that drive people's car and press it mercilessly, they don't own their own personal cars forever. Then the man or the woman is not there. They say, quickly go to Lagos for me. Go and pick my wife in the airport and bring her back to Ilorin for me. Okay, this is your transport. And then they say, they put music. They now pray what you cannot do when the person is there. You know, everything is not about stealing. There are many areas of integrity that we must work on. It's a new day for somebody here today. It's a new day for somebody here today. Number three key to supplies is divine guidance or inspiration. Divine guidance is a crucial thing for supplies. Abraham was a nonsense person until he was divinely guided. You can imagine a man at 75 years still in his father's house. There was no supplies. In fact, when Abraham was living, the Bible never said that he carried any donkey or anything to carry his goods along. Maybe his flat screen, TV, or maybe his bed or his furniture. Genesis 12 verse 1 to 4. God spoke to Abraham and said, get thee out of thy father's house into a country that I will show thee. And I will make thee great. I will bless you. I will do this and that. And in verse 4, Genesis 12 verse 4, the Bible says, and Abraham departed. Simple. There was nothing until God directed him. Abraham was a nobody. Friends, your money is somewhere. You only need divine guidance. Psalm 32 verse 8. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way to which you should go. I will guide you with my own eyes. I will show you what to do. Somebody is here today. God is going to show you what to do. God is going to guide you with his own eyes. I say God is going to guide you with his own eyes. Many are misdirected. In Genesis 13 verse 2, Abraham that was a nobody, in Genesis 12 verse 1 to 4, in Genesis 13 verse 2, he was already rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Many are just walking aimlessly all over the street. Just, my friend is into cattle rearing. Let me go into cattle rearing. My friend is started an hospital. Let me also, if you start an hospital and you were not told by God to start an hospital, you can be the first patient in the hospital. You can be the first person that they will give drip there because patients won't come. So, because you borrowed money to start it, then you are the first patient. Take time to stay with God. Daddy, what are you saying? Is it a problem for my children to get that, to get my voice, to ask me for things? But they must ask me. They must ask me humbly. They can't come to me, Daddy, tell me now. What do you mean? Will you pay my school fees next time? I say, I will. See, I've closed my eyes. By the time I open it, if you don't disappear from my presence, I slap you. But when they come, Daddy, how far? How is it going to be? And this is how it's going to be. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Things are good. If you can ask God, he's ready to give you what you want. He's ready to show you the path. But many of us, we like Indomie noodles Christianity. This is what everybody is doing. Everybody, cement is expensive now. Let me go and be buying cement. Now I know that tire is now very expensive. Let me now be selling tire. You can be eating the tire eventually when there's no sales. You cut part of the tire, you put it inside oil and be frying it when there's no sales. Put your hands on your chest and say in the name of Jesus, in the rest of this year, 2016, I will be divinely directed. I will be divinely directed. Until you are directed, there is no future. There is no supply. There's a supply for you. And you must get there. Take time to seek God's face for direction through heavy praying, both in your understanding and in tongues. If you need divine direction, you don't know what to do. Very simple. Take Friday after work, from Friday night till Sunday morning when you appear in church, be in intense fasting. Don't touch, don't eat anything. Or if you like, if it's not a very intense case, just break in the evening. Then in the course of the night, I mean, people oversleep. That's why things don't work for them. Wake up! You are the one pursuing God. Pray from 11 p.m. at night. Burst it before him. In tongues, rakakakada, jikia, zaria, galabro dozua. Jesus, show me what is the cause of this problem. Why is this business not growing? Why am I unable to handle million after doing business for 10 years? Jesus, is this what you really want me to do? Or the devil just put me there so that I can be in captivity? Some have traveled abroad and gone to different countries and just wasting their time there. Because God did not send them there. And to come back home is a problem. So if you have any brother here, he has been there for long, he's unable to send money to you and your parents or to your brothers and sisters, he's not, things are not, phone him. Brother, at least if you don't know where you are going, you will know where you are coming from. Your mates that are here, they have built houses, they have kids, they have wife, they have children, they are handling money. They say Nigeria naira is undervalued. When you have plenty of it, there's no undervaluation. What you can buy in America, you buy it here. Just have enough of it. That is why you are here today. And I decree for somebody here today, you will never lack supplies. So walk on your guide. People do that. I need God to direct me with chin-chin on one side, ice cream on one side, burger on another side, amala, black amala on another side, fish on another side, ogufe on another side. I said, I want God to direct me. God said, forget. Your stomach is already directing you. I don't need to direct you. Your stomach is telling you what to do. Now, as I'm talking now, you want to eat, so go and eat. May the Lord give us understanding. Number what now? Number one is what? God first mentality. Number two is what? Integrity. Number three is what? Okay, I actually have five keys here, but I think I better stop here because of time. Or should I fire on? Okay. All right. Number four key is hard work. Hard work. If you want supplies, be ready to work hard. In Proverbs 12 verse 24, it said, the hand of diligent shall be made, shall be a rule. But the slothful shall be under tribute. The hand of the diligent shall be a rule. But if you are slothful, there can be no supply. Supply. I have noticed by God's privilege, the more successful you are, the more hard work you must embrace. Our Father in the Lord, Daddy E.A. Adeboye said, for pastors that are trusting God for massive ministries that will be all over the world, be ready for massive work. You can't do small. You can't do something small for something big. How do you get it done? You can't do small effort. Just nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. And you want supply. You push the supply through your hard work. You drive the supply. In Proverbs chapter 12 verse 11, it says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. If you till your ground, you will be satisfied with bread. You will have bread. So till your ground. Turn to your neighbor and say, till your ground. Till your ground. So you have a choice between hard work and hard life. Hard work is going to work and ensuring that you work. Hard life is laziness. You see, friends, it is either you pay now and you play later, or you play now and you pay later. There are two choices. Either you pay now, you extra hours. They say closing time is 5. Work has not finished, so you are there till 8 to finish the assignment. So that it doesn't meet up with another time, another work the following week. That is, you are paying now. Or you play now. You don't even wait till 5. So we come, like, we do it next week. Then you go, weekend, TGIF. Or you play now, or you pay later. For somebody here this morning, grace is coming upon you this morning. Grace for work is coming upon you this morning. I say grace to work hard is coming upon you this morning. Hard workers enjoy tireless supply. So receive that grace this morning in the name of Jesus. Lazy people have a problem with me. And I thank God for the men that work with me and people that work with me in church and in other areas of life. They know. Because the person you are dealing with is on point. He's on point. He's on point night and day. Night and day. Night and day. In the middle of the night, devil knows my voice. He knows my voice. So we are not kidding. We are not fooling around. It's a new day for somebody here today. It's a new day for somebody here today. Number 5, and then I'll stop. Keys to supply is be a giver or be liberal. In Proverbs 11, verse 24 to 25, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withhold them more than his need, then he turneth to penury. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25. If you are liberal, you have qualified for supply. You have qualified for blessings. Only givers, only those that sow seed, qualify for harvest. If you are a sower, then you become a reaper. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. So, sowing always precedes reaping. You must first plant before you harvest. So all this your hand very tight. All this your tight. You want to give offering, you put it so tight because you know that what I'm giving God is not quality. It's not quality. What I'm giving him is not befitting. Say, raise up your offering. Say, hey, this one. I know what I'm worth, but I put here 10 naira. It cannot be more than this for now. And God said, is this what I've done for you? In the time of the olden days, when you want to give offering, the priest will come out. If it's Jesus, he will come and say, drop your offering. Let me see. I want to see your offering. I'm sure you must have read this in the Bible when Jesus one day he said, everybody, oh yeah, come on. It's not about the size, it's about what God has given you. God cannot be blessing you and you are giving as if you are helping him. That's an insult. He's the one that gave you. If 100 naira is what you are worth per time, give it. If in a service, what God is worth is 100,000 as offering, that is your level. Give it. You can't be giving God something that looks so annoying, so insultive. Abraham was a tireless giver, and he taught his children the same. Genesis 18 verse 4. Abraham was so much of a giver that when somebody was passing, Abraham would call him, come into my house, come and eat. He doesn't know the name, he doesn't know where they are from. Come into my house, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat, come and eat. He was such a liberal giver. He will fry goat. He will do good food. Give it to them. For somebody here this morning, I see that grace coming upon you in the name of Jesus. I see that grace coming upon you in the name of Jesus. I said Genesis 18 verse 19. Genesis 18 verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. You cannot be a reaper till you have become a sower. It's impossible. Abraham was a giver and he taught his children to do the same. He taught his children, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. That was why Isaac was also a giver. Abraham a giver, Isaac a giver, Jacob a giver, Joseph a giver. It is your name we are going to be mentioning next. I say it is your name that we are going to be mentioning next. Quickly, some avenues to give. Number one, give offerings. Give offerings. Give offerings. Good offering. I've talked about that. Number two, B. 5a, give offerings. Number two, give to the less privileged. Proverbs 19 verse 17. He that had pity on the poor, lended unto the Lord, and that which he had given, the Lord will give him again. So when you are giving to a poor person in the church, you look around you, somebody has a need in the church, not just giving to all the people that are on the streets, people that you don't know, people that you don't know, if somebody who is okay, just going around aimlessly, say, please give me, and you give him money. And somebody is inside your church that's not eating for 3 days. That's nonsense. Give to the less privileged around you, particularly in the house of God. Number three, giving to projects in the house of God. Mark 10, verse 29 to 30. Projects in the house of God is like giving for investment. Mark 10, 29 to 30. I want us to read that together very quickly. I need to round up now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's life is going to change this morning. I say somebody's life is going to change this morning. And Jesus answered and said, very verily I say unto you, there's a man that had left his house. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land for my sake and the gospel. Yes, verse 30. And he shall receive 100-fold. So anything you give as a project, he said, I will return it back to you 100-fold. Now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mother, children, land with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. I will make sure that anything you have given to me, I will ensure that you get blessed in return. So, every one of us must realize that giving to God in project and sacrifice is very, very important. Also, giving to your pastor or to your prophet. You see a pastor blessing you, being in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. Somebody who is a blessing to you, all year round, month on month, day by day, you are eating alone. You don't even say, oh, you are a blessing to my life. Please, this is for you. You know, this is very, very important. Matthew 10, verse 41. Matthew 10, verse 41. Thank you, Jesus. So, this is very, he said, and Matthew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's blessed this morning. Shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Let me hear your loudest hallelujah. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet. So there's something they call prophet reward. When you are a man or woman that is prone to giving to your prophet, not because they are in need, but because you know that is what you must do, say you will receive something called a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man, name of the righteous man, shall receive. So there's a reward for being a blessing. And our pastors are very rich. They are very, very rich. They are very, very, very rich. No, that doesn't mean anything. You want to connect with a grace. There is something on them. There's an oil on them which you want to tap, which you want to receive from. For somebody here this morning, that grace is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. That grace is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. All this I'm talking about is impossible without the giving grace. It's a grace. When I contacted that grace, the difference between my life then and now cannot be measured by trekking. It can only be measured by flight. When you are a man, your heart. Do you know something? I have never thought of what church member can give me forever in my service. Never. My wife and I, by special grace of God, have been privileged to start some churches in our short lifetime, both in this ministry and some other ministries, without drawing a cobble, a penny, just giving and giving and giving time, energy, resources, time, energy, resources, day in, day out. So when you are a giver, you have already qualified for supplies, especially giving towards the things of God, promoting the gospel. You don't want to hear that there's something in here that is being needed. Your ears doesn't want to hear it, that something is required. You jump into it. You dive into it. Even when you see that nothing is being requested for, you find out, isn't there something that we should do? The giving grace is coming for somebody here this morning in the name of Jesus. That power that makes a man to lay down comes upon you this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. No supply for a man or woman that is not born again. What does it mean to be born again? Jesus knows you and you know him. When the trumpet sounds, if it sounds now, you are so sure God will take you because your life is so perfect with him. But when you are not born again, you don't have a spiritual birth date. You don't have any day you can say, this is the day I gave my life to Christ. Or maybe you have given your life to Christ before, but for one reason or the other, you are not on point. Things are not okay. You and God, you are not in 100% agreement. Some things are not right. You want to settle with God this morning. You say, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. Pray with me. I want God to touch me this morning. I want him to be all heads bowed and all that.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878. Or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.